Verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry." Seems like what they're doing in 2020, does it not? "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you again for the reading of your word. We pray, God, you'd help us as we get into the scriptures. Let your message be preached, Father. We pray that you draw us all closer to you. Father, that you reveal our sin, that we'd confess it, repent of it, and get it right with you. We pray, God, that you'd help us today to stand, Lord, for the wrong, or stand for the right, Father. We pray that we'd stand against the wrong, Father. We pray, God, that you'd give us perseverance, that you'd give us boldness, that you'd give us courage to walk closer to you than we ever have in our life. God, thank you for church, for we know it was your idea, and we thank you for that. God, bless this service today. We bring you all honor and glory. We thank you again for that march up Calvary's Hill, that Jesus took our place to pay our sin debt because of the love he has for us. Lord, help us to love others. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Pray for us this morning, them allergies. Just get my voice a little bit. But we're going to keep on going. The Bible here talks about Jesus, and he was talking about a parable that he gave, and he was talking about this certain farmer that had had a good year. And the Bible tells us that the crops that he had brought forth plenty. The Bible teaches us some good things out of this. Now this man was not, God did not call this man a fool because he had a lot of goods. God did not call this man a fool because he worked hard by the sweat of his brow. Right? He had to work hard to have things. God didn't call the fool for that. It's not a sin to have worldly success. You will not find that in God. It's not a sin to have that. The problem is, it's when the world has you. The problem is when success overtakes the spiritual matters in your life. The problem is we need to have success in Him and not so much success in the world. That's what we're worried about. Our motive is wrong. Remember Timothy, it talks about that. I was marked this scripture this morning in Timothy where it says that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. "But the love of money is the root of all evil." Right? We hear that a lot. They can quote that. The love of money. It's not having money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It leads to many different desires. It makes many different things wrong. But look what he said after that. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many errors." What happens when the love of money overtakes you? I'm telling you, you change a person. Nothing wrong with having money. The problem is when the money has you. And there's nothing wrong with what this farmer does. I believe in working hard, girl. I believe in the sweat coming off the brow. I believe in working for things that you want in life. And that's what this farmer did. He worked hard. So I give you a little bit about this farmer's description of him. The Bible says that it doesn't say no words. Jesus, what the Bible didn't say, it didn't say the same man. It doesn't say that he treated his neighbors. It doesn't say that he was he looked down and kicked down everybody in his way to get where he's at. The Bible says that he had forth a big garden and his crops and produced plenty. That's what it says. I like that when it gets in his description. But it also talks about here that God called him a fool. God has a way of calling people by their proper name. Now God knew what this man was a fool, and we're going to go and find out what made this man a fool. And my message is to you today, don't be a fool. But this man is a fool. Now the world wouldn't call him a fool, would they not? The world would call him hardworking. Impressive. Boy, he's an entrepreneur. He is an example in the community of how hard work pays off in life. That's what the world would call him. And I wrote this down where it talks about in Psalms 49 verse 18, the second part says, "Men will praise thee when thou doest well for thyself." Men will praise thee. But you see what this farmer didn't take notice of. He might have been praised by the world, but he's going to be condemned by God.
He was a fool.
He was a fool because he did not have his priorities in line. He did not know what was important to him. That's the description today. The Bible tells us in these verses. It said that he thought of himself because I had no room where to sow my fruits. And he said, this is what I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There I will sow all my fruits and my goods. See, you know what the problem was? You know why he was a fool? Because they went his, it was God. God brought forth the plenty of seeds. God gave him the strength to get up each and every day, get out there and till that little garden. To bring forth the strength to pull it, to pick it, to put it up and sort it up. God gave him what he had. You know what he said? My. Me. It's all about me. He had seven chapters in what he said. It's all about me. That's all he's worried about. My barns. Well, my barns are too small. I'm just going to tear everything in and I'm going to break it. Imagine what this man could have done. He said, you know what? God said it's so good to me. I think I'm just going to put this right here and then all this right here. I'm going to leave the community. I'm going to feed some homeless people. I'm going to feed some widows. I'm going to feed some people that's going through a hard time. They might have got knocked off the job. Might have let go. Some people might be going through some hard times in their life. Imagine what God would have done this old boy could have done that. But he said, you know what? This is all about me. Let me tell you something else about this farmer he had wrong. He said, I've laid up much good for many years. He was right about the much good part. But you know where he erred and you know where he messed up in the world? He said, I'm good for many years. He was looking, you know, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe we are doing that. I believe we are planning for the future. But you know what he was planning for? Material-wise. He was not prepared for where his soul was going to spend eternity. His interest was in part of prosperity. His interest was in partying. He did not interest in eternal home with God. That's the description of farmer again. He said, I will not take peace. I'll eat, drink, be merry. He said, go to bed every night happy. Oh, his accomplishments and what he done. You ever notice that how people always want to talk about what they do? I like a lot of times people don't talk about what they do, but I like to talk about what God does. You don't have to brag on yourself. You know the Bible says you can do those things in secret. God doesn't be on you. God rewards you more. I know one time I heard a story. Somebody told me they was coming together and doing some work. And I tried to be careful. They was coming together and they was doing some work. And they went out here and they done all this work in the parking lot. I believe they was painting something. Then he had some that come down through there. They worked for just a few minutes, maybe just a little bit. But then they went to social media and wanted to talk about what all they've done. Like they've done everything yourself. You know what they got? They got the reward right here. They got the reward. You see, the Bible says when you lift yourself up, God will bring you back. But why would God bring you back? Because he wants us to be in a place where we are humble in life. Pride will always destroy you. Always destroy. Preacher, you said I should have no pride in serving God. No, I'm not saying you should have no pride. You ought to serve God with everything you got. I ought to serve God with everything I've got. Every breath I've got, I ought to be toward bragging on God what he's done for me. I don't have nothing to brag about what I've done for God. It's not about me. It's about God and what he's done. How he provides. How he takes care of. I thank God for the church. I thank God for you. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my kids. I thank God for my family. I thank God that I've got family here today and I appreciate it so much. I'm thankful for it. But God gave that to me. There's nothing I did to work for that. There's nothing I did. A lot of times you'll say, careful, I'll talk about when I went through work and how I used to have to go take these tests to try to get this promotion at work. And look, there's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with having goals. There's nothing wrong with saying, I want to be better off. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to provide for your family and have things. I can remember, you know, it seems like nowadays, it seems like I have spoiled my kids in such a way, and this ain't no way I'm going to have my kids. But I can remember when we grew up, it's a little bit harder time. We didn't have everything. And now it seems like it's so easy for everybody to want our kids on a boat. And that's not their fault.
life. Well, you're just doing a good job of fixing them. No, it might just be that God showed them some things in life. A lot of times I might be too quick to brag on what a good daddy I am. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you I visited some of this day. Is that big? I'll tell you that. I've made my mistakes with my kids. I'm not always at a heck of everything right. I'm not always at everything right. But I believe my kids know this, that I love them. And I tell you right now, I'll die for them today. Glad for my children. But they can die for them, they're going to save their soul, Mr. Morrison. They're going to save them from their sins, just as what they did. They better learn to know Jesus Christ. That's what we better be teaching our kids. That's what we better be teaching people. That's what we better be teaching our neighbors. That's what we are teaching our co-workers. It's what have you done with Jesus? Amen. I started learning when I got into promotions at work. You know what I figured out? Seems like the more money you make, the more headaches and more problems. Yeah, that's what I figured out. And all it does is right when you make more money, you're able to buy more material things. And you know what I've learned from that, brother Merle? The more you got, the more it's going to tear up. Then start learning, the more you got, the more God's blessed you with. Boy, we ought to give back to God. Stay in Luke. You read in chapter number 6 where he talks about that. How good he is, how it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He talks about that last too. What God done? What was wrong with this farmer? This farmer had some bad issues. He had some bad principles in his life. What were they? Well, he struggled with ungodliness. Didn't know God. Didn't care about God. He struggled with earthliness. Everything that was interested to him, everything that mattered to him, all his priorities was built upon what he could do and what he had in his life. He also had selfishness. My fruits. My goods. My boss. What else did he have? He also suffered a little thing called presumptions. He presumed that he had many years in his life. Well, how many times have we been guilty of that? I sure can't guilty of that. Let me raise both hands while I start. I've always said, what we'll do next week, what we'll try to do in 6 months, what we might look to do next year. What if we don't have that time? What have you done with God today is what matters. The plans we make. Right? And I'm not getting over nobody. This is for me too. I've struggled with this. You know what? A lot of times, like me and Nicole, we already made the plans for vacation. There's so many months down the road. We've done the vacation, what we're going to do, how much money we need to try to set back, what kind of things we might want to do while we're on vacation. Things like that. Things everybody does. What about today? God, what would you want from me today? I'm planning on something that I might not ever go to see. I might not ever see 6 months from now. I don't know. God's in control. Where's my perspective at? I don't want to be the fool that's so worried about all the material things that I leave out. The spiritual matters in my life. The spiritual matters is what's important. That's what's important. We need to get up and we need to go to work. We need to do these things. We need to be his fathers. We need to be protectors. We need to be providers. We need to be the men that God calls to be. We need to be the women God calls them to be too. The heart of the home. You know when we messed up and we got away? When's the last time we used to get up and we used to pray and start our day? We used to read the Bible and start our day. Used to be church was important. Now it's, well, I get down there. Now it's just like, well, I'm trying to read a verse. Boy, let me go ahead and confess my thoughts. Let me tell you why I used to be so guilty. I used to say I'd read my Bible every day, and I wouldn't see anything. I'd find me a verse and I'd go through it. Even after what I read, 2 hours later, I couldn't even quote the verse. I might think where I was at, but I couldn't quote the verse. That's what I was guilty of this morning. You say, well, I read my Bible every day. But I didn't! Where in your Bible does it say read your Bible? I believe Paul told Timothy, he said study the Word. He didn't say read it. Study. You know what study does? Study puts it in there. And don't just leave it in here. You better learn to get it in here. Study. That's what we're drawing upon. The description upon. He wasn't right with God over there. He might have been right with his community. Might have been right with his wife. Might have been right with his kids. I didn't know
it. In Hebrews, it says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. There is death coming. There are so many people who are not ready to give life. Parents, how can you say that? You're judging on. Jesus said in his own words that there's many going the wrong way. He said, straight and never on the way. And if you ever be the Bible, that's not judging, that's a hope. There's few people finding the right way. Why is that? Maybe it's my fault, Brother David, that I ain't gotten in the right way. Maybe it's my fault that I'm not praying like I should for people when God puts on my heart. Maybe it's when God makes my heart go up to my eyes. Call them. Check them. Face them. I know we can't go see everybody in the hospital. They've got rules and things like that. Right? You can't get in there. You can't have a lot of people gathered. Only place you can gather a lot of people is Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot, I reckon. That's the only place you can have a lot of people gathered. I guess the CDC says the virus won't go in those places. But if you're sure you're in your church, don't gather more than 10. You can gather more than 10. You can gather 50. Make sure you social distance. They change these guidelines every day. I don't know what's going on. First, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Now, it's on services, now they're on services. I don't know what's going on. I just know this. I just don't trust God, do what God wants me to do. We worry so much about the virus, we better be worried about sin. Sin in the life. It's what made him fool. His innocence. Get the wrong part. And then comes death. The Bible teaches us that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he said, after death, there comes judgment. It's required. Y'all know what that required means? It's time to die. Ecclesiastes, Solomon said that, it's time to die. It's time to go to God. It's time to give him what he's done. And that time's coming. And it comes to this moment. Didn't think it was going to come all of a sudden. Unexpected. How did God take him out? I don't know how God take him out. Let me tell you something. God can do any way he wants to. Well, if I get diagnosed with this, I've got to go through so many stages or so many months or so many years that this is going to happen. When God snaps his fingers, he can take your life if he wants to. You are one breath away from meeting God face to face. You better think about that. One heartbeat away, living God. This farmer ran it out the wrong way. He said, I'll take this, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be married, I'm going to have time. He said, you know what, it's going to be just one big party life. Man, I've had the best life. But his life was based on what he had, what he should have been worried about, what he didn't have. He didn't have Jesus in his heart. Let's go to this last one and I'm done. Not only the description of the farmer tells us about him, the death of the farmer, what comes to him. The distribution of the farmer's wealth. What about that? He's so worried about what he had, he didn't think about what's going to happen when he left it from her. And the Bible, Jesus didn't say in Luke 12, well, we just called down there a few hauls, but if we didn't come up loaded up, we'll follow him. Well, we'll call on bridge truck. We'll load up all them goods that he had. He could just take them with him. Didn't say that. What did Jesus say about it? Look what he said in this right here. He said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Who got it? Was it his family? I don't know. Was it the government? Could be. He lived in 2020 and crossed the rivers and got his money. No, I'm sure if I had guessed. Who got it? Jesus said, he was so worried about all that he had, he didn't think about what he had. He said, who got this stuff? You know what Jesus is telling us right there? He talked about his treasures in verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich for his child. Preacher, what are you saying? What makes, well then preacher, if it ain't what I got here, what is it?
sad to say it. Right here at this table, a lot of it's got to be these preachers. They found that they're supposed to be rich in money. What did God ever tell them they're supposed to be rich in money? God said to be rich in faith. That's what makes you rich towards God. Faith, trust, reliability. Remember, Brother Curtis always tells us, Brother Tommy, it's not your ability that God wants, it's your availability that God wants. He just wants you to be available. We think it's us. Oh, God needs me to do that. No, we don't. Oh, God, he's waiting on me to do that. He's not ready. Oh, I'm just so important. No, you're not. And I'm not ready. It ain't me casting stones. I promise if I did, I'd have to say, you're going to have to be first. I'm not casting stones. Problem is, this farmer thought, you know what? That life is only about me. He goes back to verse 15. We'll leave this right here. In verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of goodness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possess. You know what Jesus is saying right here? A relationship with God is far more important than any material things you can have in this life. Your house, your college education, your cars, your land, your boats, your tractors, your motorcycles, anything you got compares nothing to the relationship with God. That's what Jesus tried to teach you right there. That's the important thing. But the farmer had no interest. He was indifferent to what you were doing. He didn't think about what would happen if I died. So I ask you this. Have you thought about what's going to happen when you die? I'm not trying to scare nobody today. You might have 40 more years. You might have 80 more years. She might have 8 more hours. I don't know. I'll pray you to say, you know what? Maybe I won't have 40 more hours. What matters is, are we right with God? Don't be a fool today. A lot of people think this true satisfaction comes by the material things that you possess. I wrote this down. Listen to this, I'm done, I promise you. Riches provide no true satisfaction to the soul. This man made a wrong estimate of his soul, a wrong distribution of his goods, a wrong calculation of his time. Preparing for life before death is wise. Don't get me wrong, preparing for life before death is wise. Neglecting life after death is catastrophic. Are you prepared to meet God? So we stand, if the Lord comes and place me in, I don't believe you, man. I ask, are you prepared to meet God today? If you're not, I've got good news. You can be prepared today before you leave. If you come to me.
Preacher, I get scared, I get nervous, I don't know what to do. All you got to do is call on God.
There's no 12-step program. There's no 100 verses you got to say in your prayer. All Jesus says is, come. That's all you have to do. And this is what I believe. I believe when you come to Him, He'll do the rest. He'll do it. Anybody needs to pray this morning? Mr. Lord, you play whatever's on your heart this morning, Ms. Hale. Does anybody need to pray about anything? Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a fool. Don't be scared to come down here and say, well, people think I've been a fool. I've been a fool. We've all been fools. The problem is not that you've been a fool. The problem is when we say a fool. The problem is when we know we're different than we know. It's not, a lot of people say, well, it's because I've got sin in my life. It's not that you've got sin in your life. It's not the main problem. Listen to me now. When you don't acknowledge it, when you don't confess it, when you don't repent, when you think you're above sin. What is it that you need today? Maybe you've got problems just going crazy in your life, with your family, with your health. Maybe there's some things that you haven't looked at with right perspective today. Maybe you're so worried about everything else in life, you've neglected your own soul. Don't be a fool this morning. What is it that you need? Would you just
just come and talk to God this morning. Tell Him what you need.